And the fact of the matter is you're going to fail at things. To run a business and think that every single venture, every single partnership, every single person you employ is going to be successful is naive. And with that kind of acceptance of the fact that you are going to fail, it makes jumping back a lot easier.
In this episode, I chat with longtime client and friend Daria Higgins about the importance of life experience and what it takes to start over. Nowadays, the importance of having multiple skill sets in diverse and even unrelated industries seems to be the ingredient that keeps you not only employable but resilient. In a world where so many people do not go into industries vaguely related to the degrees they spend years studying for, the ability to take a step back and find a new way to do life is essential to our long-term health and happiness. This episode is particularly important for anyone who is sitting in a position where they have to get up and start again in an unpredictable world.
So, I mean, I come from a very mixed mashed family. My father's Scottish, my mother's of Lebanese descent. I was born in Zimbabwe. We moved around quite a bit when I was a youngster, and I'm the eldest of three. I've got two younger brothers. And pretty much from the word go, I've always been a bit of a loner, quite happy in my own company. I think in a way that also just that has helped me further on in life, and the fact that I can tend to pull resources from myself rather than looking at external sorts of stimulus. But both my parents, my father worked in the breweries. He was very, very successful technical brewer. My mother was a physio, ran her own practice. And as kids, we were pretty much left to our own devices. And I'm not saying we were abandoned, but we could get on with things ourselves. You know, there wasn't this, you know, by 3 o'clock you must do this and by 4 o'clock you must do this and whatever. My father was exceptionally disciplined, and I think that has stuck with me over the years. Also, on my mom's side, is we come from a family, being Lebanese, I think a lot of us tend to be very entrepreneurial. You know, I come from that part of the family where we owned cafes or bakeries or whatever the story was. So we kind of learned that we just started our own things. I mean, my uncle owned petrol stations and car dealerships and secondhand stores. And I mean, even to this day, both my brothers, we are all run our own businesses. None of us work for a company. So it's just something that we were kind of brought up in that space around creating your own thing. I think some of it might have to do that we all have issues with authority, but just turn around and go, it's just easier if I'm my boss, and not have to deal with it. So that's sort of the earliest sort of thing of me growing up. Was we moved around a lot until probably I was about 10 or 12. And then I also went to boarding school, which also once again engenders a sense of independence, moving away from home and family. And then after high school, I was at Varsity. Also the same sort of thing. I earned, a waitress, earned money, did all of those sorts of things. So I think over the years, leading all the way up to when I went overseas, was just you create your own success. I think there was very little of waiting for somebody to come in and save you. There was very much this, my parents were exceptionally generous in the education that they gave us, but it was, right, you've now been given these sets of tools, now go and do something with it. And then I went, I was meant to go backpacking for a year. And then after a year, I did my honours degree in international relations and was terribly distraught when the International Institute of International Affairs wouldn't take me with my little honours degree from South Africa, working, alongside PhD scholars, influencing world geopolitics. So I just did the normal backpacking sort of route, and I went backpacking. The last big trip I did, I took out a credit card first time. Got back and didn't realize that the bank wanted its money back. Adulting 101. But I think, and this has always stuck with me, even when I was running my own business and I was recruiting staff to join me, I would always take somebody who'd had some sort of life experience over a degree. I always found that far more valuable. Somebody, you know, when you're traveling and you're backpacking, you're having to think on your feet. You're having to be resilient. You're going to face obstacles. You know, your wallet or your passport is going to get stolen, or you're going to lose money, or you're going to spend too much money drinking beer and how are you going to get home, or booking flights or getting visas. You know, these were all things that at the age of 21, after a pretty closeted life, you were suddenly having to deal with on your own. And you're living in a house full of five or six other people your own age, also trying to, you know, navigate their way through all of this. So all of these things, I think, just added to a sense of resilience, which I think is probably, in my mind, one of the cornerstones to being successful. Is just your ability to just carry on, you know, getting up no matter what gets thrown at you, is finding wherever you need to go, is to find a way to pull yourself back up again. And then, you know, so then I was at, you know, I backpacked, and then I went into corporate, into the eventing space, and realized I was actually really, really good at it, and progressed very, very fast in the industry. Or in the company, and then, you know, due to various politics, got promptly booted out on my bum, which was another, you know, in my, for a while I thought of it, in fact for a long time I thought of it as a failure, and then I realized that it was a set of circumstances that had kind of come together that put me in that situation. But once again, it was that you know, just get up or try and pick yourself up. And that was probably the first time I battled to pick myself back up again. So I came back to South Africa to recover. It was surprising how much of an emotional, how emotionally I felt after that incident. And I think it had been brewing for a while, and I was just exhausted. So I came home and did some work again. And then in a different sector, I swore I'd never do anything in events again, and then moved into another sector. And then venting just called me back. And I'm probably one of the worst business people in the world. And the fact that there was this overwhelming desire just to start something. Yeah. And I started with pretty much nothing. I mean, my little black book in London was worth a fortune. You know, I could phone anyone and get into anything and whatever else. But after not being in South Africa for 10 years, to come back and suddenly start an events business was pretty... In hindsight, what on earth was I thinking? Just like, let's start a company. But one of the things I realized pretty early on was I'm one of 14,000 event companies in South Africa. What is it that's going to make me special? And it was the fact that I'd spent all this time in London doing events. So I had a different take on things, I had a different standard, I had a different sense of what I understood as customer service or professionalism. So that made me unique right off the bat, and it just gelled. Within 3 months, I picked up my first corporate client, and that literally was, I'm going to show my age now, was getting the yellow pages. And I just sat down one day and I went, right, choose out of all these industries, choose your top 10 clients out of all these industries. And that's what I did. I went, this client, this client, this client, this client. And every day for 3 months, I would spend an hour and a half just phoning people, cold calling. And that's what it took. And then it was, you know, the stars aligned, and I phoned this one car manufacturer, and she had just fired her last event company the day before. I picked up the phone and we were going into what was called Auto Africa in those days, the big one at Nasrec. And that's how we picked up our first client. I do remember putting the phone down going, what has actually just happened? And remembering that I didn't, when I left London, I swore I'd never wore another suit again in my life. So I threw all my suits away. And then suddenly I had to find a way to get to a corporate meeting. Mm-hmm. I've never raided so many people's wardrobes as I did, trying to get a suit again. So that's kind of where the business started from. And then it just grew. And along the ways, there have been some missteps, and I've gotten into partnerships with people that I shouldn't have, and all of those sorts of things. But a lot of it is just around the fact that, you know, when I look at, we've all been given, well, I certainly have been given this wonderful gift of time in the last 3 months when my industry has totally collapsed, of looking back and going, how on earth did I survive 13 years in this business running my own shop? And, you know, the fact of the matter is you're going to fail at things. To run a business and think that every single venture, every single partnership, every single person you employ is going to be successful is naive. And with that kind of acceptance of the fact that you are going to fail, it makes jumping back a lot easier.
Sure, I agree.
Because, you know, you really do need to take lessons away from it. And I've always said this, you know, it's a bit of a mantra when I'm on site at events, that the day I stop learning something from an event or from business is the day I close it down.
You know, I think that's extremely powerful because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be perfect and to not admit when something goes wrong. It's never going to happen. That's not realistic. And I suppose it was makes the difference between entrepreneurs who are successful and those who aren't. But then you've got a background in witnessing this firsthand from basically conception. So is it nurture or is it nature? What is it that makes a person resilient, in your opinion?
I think it's a little bit of both. I really do. I think you need to have the tendency to be resilient and then build up the skills. It's definitely a set of skills that you have built. You know, most entrepreneurs wouldn't be able to run businesses if all of us were entrepreneurs. We'd all be running our own businesses. There'd be nobody that we would be working with to grow a business. So I do believe that it's part of your makeup. But in saying that, you've really got to build your skills around it. And I think, you know, it's a question of if you want something enough, you'll learn the skills to do it. So even if it's maybe not in your nature, if it's something you want hard enough, it may not come as naturally as it would to some other people, but I think you need to really want it badly enough, and then you'll find the resources to make sure that you do it. You might not be as risk, you know, as open to risk as perhaps some entrepreneurs would be. I'm not very risk focused. I tend to err a little bit more on the conservative side, but I understand that about myself. And I think what a lot of entrepreneurs are self-actualized. I think they realize and they know, hopefully, where their strengths and weaknesses lie. And that if I don't have that skill set or that attribute or that set of knowledge, then am I going to bring somebody in and collaborate with them? Am I going to upskill myself? Or do I need to shift focus?
What is your decision-making process? Are you the kind of person who, when you're faced with a question or a task or a challenge, do you respond immediately? Or are you the kind of person who ruminates over the options and gives yourself some breathing space to come back with a more measured response?
So in eventing, you very rarely have time when you're live with show to sit and go, hi, can we just hold things for 10 minutes while I figure out what to do? So within certain environments, you just have to make a decision and run with it and deal with the consequences. I'm probably more of a ruminator when it comes to business decisions. And sometimes that comes back to bite me because I can sometimes go into analysis paralysis around that sort of thing. But if I get a very good gut feeling, and if I need to think about stuff, I know this is going to sound a bit woohoo, I tend to meditate around it if it's something that I can't quite get a straight yes or no. I think, you know, also when you get to your 40s and 50s, I think you feel things a little quicker. I think experience or wisdom or age or whatever might help towards that. But where I'm stuck with decisions, especially the big, profound ones, I find that I do better if I give myself the space to think about it. I set a boundary. So if somebody is pushing me for an answer straight away, I'll go, I need a bit of space. Otherwise, I need to back away from the conversation because you're pushing me into a decision I'm not ready to make. Mm. That was a big learning. A huge learning.
Then you don't sort of come out the womb realizing this. It is something that we have to bump our heads with a few times.
100%. But I do find that I will then very often what it is in Nikki is like this conscious thought at the front of my mind. It kind of sits and ruminates at the back. And then when I have to look at it again, I'll go, okay, fine, let's go with this option, or we'll go with that option. So it really is, in a situation that needs an answer straight away, I can very much go into that kind of high A-type driver, get things done personality. Or else I'll sit there and then I will revert back to some sort of meditation, or get me into a space where I can think of things a little less emotionally.
I suppose it's where it's appropriate, and what you said is very clear. It makes total sense. It depends on the context. So, you know, I've known you for a long time, and what's really stood out for me is you have so many strings to your bow. So I've always known you as, you know, the owner of the events company, but you're also a food stylist and a food photographer, and you've traveled the world following your passions. And there's so many things you can do. I mean, I know now you've got a venture going into social media management. So, you know, it's not just confined to one skill set. And I think that's really important for people who've either lost their jobs or are just joining the job market to get their heads around the fact that, like you said earlier, you'd hire somebody on experience and probably on personality quicker than you would on their qualifications. So let's talk about your ability to be a super generalist, which I think is more valuable than to be a super specialist in this day and age.
And I completely agree with you. And I think especially now, after the last 105 days or whatever month we're in, of lockdown, is, you know, there was what has become very, very clear for me now, been a couple of things, is that you can't just rely on one source of income anymore. I think that is, you have got to start at looking at multiple streams. And you might just need to start with one, but then look at a way in which you are bringing in income from a number of different avenues. And you as well have been so successful in that, and looking at different ways in which, you know, from one central passion, you are able to, you know, delve out into a number of different channels. And ultimately what I am driven by is I have an absolute passion for food and sharing stories. And I think I've mentioned this in conversations with you in the past. I don't mind how I get to tell that story, whether it is at an event or if it's at a photo shoot or if I'm doing a travel, you know, a travel gig, or I am working on a company's social media strategy. If I can get if there is a way that I can share a story and talk about community and talk about people, that's my central focus. And then that then allows me to tap into all the other way, you know, into all these glorious ways that I can generate an income and make a livelihood from it. But I think what it is coming, and, you know, I am speaking from a very unique space, is that I've been able to identify my passion. And then I've also been able to take a step back and go, right, where else can I go? And some have been pretty evident, you know, straight off the bat, I can go, right, so I love food photography and I write social media management makes absolute sense, you know, because it's the next step on. So some things make complete sense. The other thing, you know, that will come straight off the back of it, which not straight off the back of it, but other things that have been unexpected, is, you know, we've started a collaboration on working with, I've started collaborating with people in coaching and breath work on helping women develop confidence to step into a new workspace. And that's all just come, you know, that's been a conversation that we've worked with, and then we've gone, oh, that's a great idea. Well, why don't we work on this? And that takes me to, you know, so firstly, there's passion. Secondly, I think the only way we're going to get through where we are now is through collaboration. I really do. I don't think any of us want to be, you know, I was chatting to a friend of mine. I said, you know, part of me went, at 47, do I want to be doing this all again from start on my own? And the answer was, I don't need to be doing it on my own. And that's where we've started collaborating with people. So on social media, I've got this amazing network of people that I can tap into for design or building or content or strategy. For the coach, you know, this project I was talking about, I'm speaking to some wonderful people who are specialists in breathwork and meditation and yoga and coaching and NLP. So it's all about building a network. And with that is this, you have got to be inquisitive. Certainly for me, you have got to be curious about life. And that's also the other thing. I love learning new things. It just fills me with absolute joy, whether it's something I learn about my body after a session with you, or if it's I go for a walk and I realize my dog is a hunter dog, and therefore any dead animal it's going to roll itself into. You know, these are all just things you walk away going, I didn't know that 20 minutes ago. How cool was that? So I'm all about experience much, take away little. Is some of it going to blow up in your face? Probably. Is some of it going to be stuff you're not going to like? Most likely. That's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be messy and joyful and disappointing and exciting and more than you thought it was going to be and less than you expected. You know what I mean? It's all meant to be this myriad of experiences that kind of get you through it. So this expectation of on Monday you have a business plan, on Tuesday you're going to speak to the bank, on Wednesday you're going to have a website, and by Friday you're going to have a successful company. I think
in what world?
Just doesn't fly anymore.
No, it doesn't.
In what world? And then how boring. You know, that's the other thing, is that the greatest joys and successes and triumphs I've had in my industry or my career have been from late night conversations or an accidental meeting or stopping somebody and really engaging with them. Those have been the real gems, you know, without sounding like I'm getting too, you know, off, you know, like, please don't go skipping down the road.
No,
you know, having started conversations with 85-year-olds expecting a business plan. But it's that sort of thing about being curious, really being curious. And just applying yourself and going, I wonder if I did this, what could happen? I mean, I've got about 15 notebooks scattered around my home with just ideas. Well, half of them will never come to fruition, and half of them I'll, you know, some of them I'll try, and then I only need two or three to work, you know, and then you've got something. And that's what that all is. And I mean, I think, and this is, I think the other thing that's allowed me to kind of jump off into so many different avenues is that I don't think of my career or my skills in a kind of linear CV sort of way. I prefer to look at CVs around a set of competencies, because I think people will change their perceptions of themselves, and I think their levels of confidence will shift when they realize that they've actually achieved a lot more by analyzing what they've done rather than the title that they've held.
Yes, and I couldn't really agree with that. I mean, anyone can get a degree. I mean, look at some of our politicians. Apparently, they've got these degrees, but it's not doing anybody much good. So, you know, we are, you know, not judged, but it's what you can bring to the table that is more important.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's, you know, one of the things if there's one lesson I've learned from running businesses is to develop that sense of resilience. Whatever it is that allows you just to step up to the plate every single day, and it's every single day, is just whatever it is that builds your resilience. So whether it's sleep or good health or exercise or reading or studying or having the support or a strong financial network, whatever it is that allows you to be resilient, and it changes from person to person, that's the only way you're going to survive in a space that requires so much rethinking of what you're going to do now, in the space where some jobs just don't exist anymore. Sure. What do you do? If you've been doing this for 20 years, what do you actually do? It's not going to be easy, but I think it's one of those things where if you sit down, and this has certainly been my example, my case, is that it's, what is my goal? What do I need to get to it? Who's going to help me get there? And what do I need to do every single day?
That's great advice. So as someone who's so independent and, you know, who's done so much, is it hard for you to ask for help? Do you battle with that, or is it something that you've come to accept?
So funny you should ask. Last week was a particularly bad week for me. It's probably the worst week I've had since lockdown. And I was spiraling. And asking for help has always been an exceptionally difficult thing for me to do. And it got to the point where over the weekend I actually phoned a friend of mine. I just said, look, I'm not coping. So for somebody who runs a business and is, you know, all these things and whatever else, it was like I had to spend some time going, this isn't out of your own doing. You know, this is a set of circumstances, and they've just got the better of you for a while. And I did. I was on the phone with this friend of mine for about an hour and a half, and we were just talking. And what I realized is that, and I say this often to other friends of mine, is that you have got to find your own tribe.
Absolutely.
Find a group of people. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be constant for the rest of your life. It could be what gets you through this period right now, or you can have different tribes. But the group of women that I consider this tribe at the moment, they come from similar industries. They're all similar ages. We've all felt the same knock-on effect. So when we talk to each other, we're not having to explain from point zero how we're feeling. And we've also become really just really great at when I say something, I know they're going to understand what I'm talking about. And it's a combination of mothers and single folk and couples and blended families and entrepreneurs and business owners and people who were employed and all of these sorts of things. But we have this commonality that allowed us to come together, and that's helped us. And that has been immeasurably beneficial, you know, to the point where now we just have daily check-ins. It's nothing big. It's a number system, 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And we just WhatsApp each other going, hi, I'm a 1. That means I'm ready to rock it. I'm a 5. I need help, guys. That's all it is. It's not so it's also kind of circumvented our egos of saying I need help. We can just like type 5. It's just something, find something that works for you. And what I was amazed by was the friend of mine that I was chatting to turned around and she went, I've been wanting to speak to somebody for a week as well.
You know, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think, yeah, we all walk around with this air, this varnish of everything's okay, but most people are not okay. Especially at this point in time in our history, it's been very challenging, and it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to, you know, put it out there and say, look, if you need a chat, I'm here. I think we can all do with each other's support right now.
100%. And I mean, I was listening to that viral video from Vusi, Temba Kwayo, that went around over the weekend. And it wasn't so much the video, I mean, as impactful and powerful as that video is, it was the interview that he gave afterwards. The thing that stuck with me more than anything else is he went, there is no Messiah. All of this needs to come from you. That's once, you know, and funny enough, once I realized that, and it's been something that is I've used for a while now, is that it all needs to come from you. You probably have 95% of the answers. You just need to focus on yourself being the strongest, most positive, most capable being to get you there. So whether it's your sleep, your gut health, your diet, your emotional state, your setting of boundaries, your how you do work every day, how you communicate with your family, all of these things need to come from you. And I think we have, as a culture, I think we've had this reliance on this external band-aid to come in and sort stuff out. Well, and this is the thing. I mean, I can come to you, Nikki, and you can give me all the nutritional advice in the world, but you're not sitting with me at 8 o'clock at night while I'm opening the fridge debating, should I have the bar of Lindt chocolate or should I have the bowl of raspberries? That needs to come from me.
Or the pancakes that give you a tummy ache. I'm like, you know, really.
I know.
It's going to happen. It's okay. It's okay. We learn and we move on.
We learn and we move on. But what it is that I'm not expecting you to solve it for me. You can give me all the tools. So a business coach can give you the tools. A bank can give you a loan. I can sit down with somebody and help build their social media strategy. You've still got to do the work.
That's exactly it. And I've got lots of clients who've got kids in high school or going into varsity, and they're at such a loss. They're so worried about what their kids are going to do. And, you know, I think, you know, we've all got to just pause and hang back, because it's going to come with time and it's going to come with experience, just like it always did. You know, and not to get too embedded in one way of thinking, which I think is the key, is not to get too entrenched in there's only one way to do life.
And that's exactly it. And I'll always remember somebody, one of my bosses, and he explained it so beautifully. He said, think of your career like a flight from Joburg to London. You don't just fly in a direct line. The pilots every once in a while are going to figure out where they are, adjust. And a little bit further on, you know, take a breath, figure out where they are, and adjust, because, you know, and I'm not a pilot, but I'm assuming things like headwinds and storms, you know, sometimes you need to adjust and adapt and move. Also, I think people get so caught on the end result that they forget the joy of getting your first client or beating a sales record or putting together a shoot where you turn around and go, bloody hell, I'm pretty good. You know, like all these little moments, and because you do, you beat yourself up the whole time. It's what we do, and especially as women, we're terrible. You know, we could do better. I should do better. I have to do better. I can't show anyone. These are all things. These are all the little voices that thump you through your head, and you show somebody, and they go, "Oh my heck, that's absolutely bloody beautiful." But it's coming from you, and it's how you push yourself through it and find your resilience. So once again, it's the meditation. It's if I have a bad weekend, you know, and I clock a bottle and a half of wine and I do the chocolate cake, I know Monday is going to be a challenge for me. I know it. And that's the thing, is that I own it and then I do what I need to do to get over it.
Where to from here? What is your what have you sketched out for your life for the next, say, 6 months, a year? Where are you wandering now? Because, I mean, it seems like life is just this juicy adventure. The next chapter is just going to be so exciting.
Well, so this period has been a massive readjustment. I mean, I had 4 overseas trips planned, all gone. Obviously, photo shoots up until recently, gone. Events, gone. It's been quite amusing watching all of this disappear.
Hard reset.
You know, while I'm breathing deeply in my meditative pose. What it is I've had to look at, so for example, on my social media side, where I would have been doing a lot more about external travel and eating out and restaurants and whatever else, it's become a lot more inward, reflective, like cooking at home, comfort food, which you and I have been talking about, you know, setting your own table, all of these joys that come from a slightly more insulated life. As opposed to this rampaging, running around the globe, you know, and visiting amazing places. One of the other things I've started doing is I was meant to be in Sicily in September. Obviously, we can't go because there's no trips out there. So I've started hunting down Sicilian chefs and saying, well, if I came to Sicily, what would I be eating from your restaurant? Once again, it's that adaption. Would I love to be in Sicily? Absolutely. Am I going to get to sleep? No. What's the middle ground?
And it keeps you sane. It keeps you going through the bumps. And I think that's the big lesson here is, what can I do in the meantime while the universe makes up its mind? You know, what flight plan are we actually following?
And that's exactly it. And you might just find by having to make these little adjustments, it takes you on a path that you had no idea you'd go down. And it actually gives you joy. You know, there's something as simple as table settings. You know, because everyone's eating at home now, very few people are going out to restaurants. You know, how important is setting a table for people? You know, we're going back to families eating at a table again. I can't tell you how many people I've reached out to are going, I'll take a picture of my family's table for dinner. It's wonderful.
It is. But, it is. And taking a little bit more care and time is very satisfying, and it can just take you out of your funk in your head.
That's it. It's a more considered life is kind of where I'm focusing now at the moment, where I don't have to rush around and sit in traffic, thank the Lord. I can look at the things that, you know, I've been gifted with so many wonderful things that I can spend more time on, like cooking, laying a table and taking beautiful photographs of the food I cook and the people that I interact with. And even just a walk in the park, which 4 months ago was something you just did to clock your 10,000 steps, is now a joyful exercise. In both terms, it's something that is wonderful to sit in. You know, we were walking the other day and a friend of mine went, have you looked at the trees? And we just sat there for a minute looking at the trees. Like, you normally don't do that because, you know, your phone's going and you want to get a walk in and, you know, the traffic's awful and all of these things. Whereas now we're sitting there going, let's just take a walk for 45 minutes. And what it just does is it calms everything down. And then you're able to think a little bit more clearly. So that's that from the social media side. The eventing side, we're doing some really lovely stuff online, which is really great because the clients seem to trust us. Also, and what that also has done is we're now learning a whole new skill. Oh, okay, so we've got to adapt this, or we've got to do this, or we've got to change this to that and whatever else. And then, you know, we're also developing our own series of events that we own, but in this kind of wellness, lifestyle, food space. I've learned not to say no to the first conversation, Nikki. I just think there's so many interesting things that we turn away around after a 40-minute coffee and go, not for me. Yeah. But at least, you know, I've always said I never want to be that person who didn't give the Beatles their first recording contract.
Oh, yes. We all like wonder what the hell they must be doing kicking themselves.
Yeah, there are a number of people, you know. So it's that, you know, and it's not out of a greed space. It's about this desire to learn and just kind of absorb as much as I can while I can.
I think that's the attitude that's going to get us, all of us, through this. And it's such sage advice and such, you know, I mean, I know what you've been through. Life is never, it's not easy for anybody, but the advice that you're sharing, I'm hoping people can take something from that and go, you know what, I can do that too. I can think differently. I can improvise. I don't need to let this get me down. You don't need to be a statistic of this epidemic, but we need to find resources and talk to people. You can't do it alone either. I think that's your biggest message.
The biggest thing is, you know, honestly, I have found so much enjoyment from collaborating with people. Once you get your ego out the way, so for me, it was very much about getting my ego out the way, doing everything myself 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and once I was able to kind of sit down and go, I'm surrounded by people infinitely better at certain things than I am. Why wouldn't I want to share something with them?
Absolutely.
And I think that's where you're going to find people finding a way through this. You really don't need to do this on your own.
Thank you, Daria. This was really, it was like there's gems all over the place here. I think it's going to be so helpful for the population who listen to this show all over the world. I think we all need these reminders that we've got to kick our own butts and to get out of our own funk and to drop the ego. And you know, this is even though we're living through a crisis, there is so much joy to be had if we just look for it. And I think it's been very fresh and really, really good advice. Thank you.
And you know, it's just, you're going to have bad days. It's okay. It's fine. Like I said, you know, last week was not my, you know, not a shining gem of how I wish to remember part of 2020, but it happens.
Sure.
And I've got something out of it, which was incredible, which was a numbering system on my sanity.
So that is, it's always good to remember they can't all be good days. And yeah, this is life.
Thanks again for joining me for another episode of the Reinvent Health Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Daria can be contacted directly through her website and social media channels. All the links and more information can be found in the episode notes. This episode was sponsored by the Nutrition Prescription by Reinvent Health. The one thing we all have a degree of control over is how we manage our health through the choices we make. Believe it or not, healthy nutrition is more simple than we've been led to believe when you know what to do. If you're going to get away with anything positive out of 2020, let it be a wake-up call to make a change. Use this time in the best way possible. Give your body what it truly needs in order to thrive. No matter your age, income level, or health state, you can learn new habits that will help you feel stronger, more energized, and motivated to live better. The Nutrition Prescription is an online learning program designed for anyone wanting to learn the basics of healthy nutrition and customize the knowledge into a way of life that does not involve restrictive dieting. Once you've signed on, you will receive access to hours of videos, meal plans, recipes, articles, and regular webinars that will keep you up to date with the most current thinking around health and nutrition. To sign up or find out more, go to reinventhealth.co.za and click on online learning.